His blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
One final breath he gave as heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness, a battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away, his perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeat.
Together.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We
sing hallelujah.
The angels are by the throne. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah.
Be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Because one day it'll be worth it all. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Another scripture says, for thou, O Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone. He doesn't need any help. He can do something wonderful in your life today, just like he's done in all of our lives in the past. And I was listening as we were praying this morning before our service about one day it's going to be worth it all. All the heartache, all the trials, all the pain, the suffering, all the things that we think in this life are so tough and so difficult. If we just let God lead us and guide us and lead us in a way that one day it will be worth it all. Amen. Coming to church, some people may think it's drudgery and think it's hard or it's difficult to get out of bed and forsake other things and come here and put God first on a Sunday morning, but it's going to be worth it one day, church.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We'll have the ushers come at this time. Brother Gary, if you would like to say the blessing over the offering. you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I'm
like you, Lord. There's no one 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 like you, Lord. Holy, 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 holy. There's no one like you, Lord. 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 Holy, 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 holy.
There's no one like him. There's no one like you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's no one like you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
No one can touch you like Jesus can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No one can give you peace you cannot
understand.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it feels good to be in the house of the Lord. While you're remaining on your feet, do want to take some knees of the Lord in prayer. I do want to tell you that there is a box at the back now with some prayer request cards. If you would like to fill out those cards and place them in the box, we'll do our best to get them up on the screen so that we can pray concerning those needs during the break in between sessions. We always think it's right, it's proper to go to the Lord in prayer, especially during a service. We always want to give opportunity for those that need to be anointed and prayed for. We're going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. Collectively, if you would like to be anointed and prayed for, we'd ask that you would come forward as we begin to pray, and the elders of the church will anoint and pray for you. How many have a need in the house? You know a need, a situation, circumstance, God recognizing that need. I know that there are numerous needs represented here in the house. But let's go to the Lord, ask Him to work and move in these particular situations, circumstances. Say, well, we could recall, we could count all the different needs. Yes, we could. But the Bible says He knows what we have need of before we ask or even think it. So let's go to Him right now. If you need to be anointed and pray for in your body, why don't you come forward as we begin to pray. Dear Jesus, we love You. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to be here in Your house, God. We feel Your touch, Your help, Your strength. Lord, we pray, God, that You would minister body, soul, mind, and spirit, God. They'll find Your strength and Your help, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship You, Lord. We praise You. We thank You. We honor You, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you stretch your hands toward those that have come forward to be anointed and prayed for.
Your wounds with nail-scarred hands. No
like Jesus can.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Today is the first Sunday of April. Hard to believe we are already in April. 2 weeks away from Easter. 2 months away from kids getting out of school. But as is custom around here on the first Sunday of every month, we want to acknowledge and honor those that have been keeping up with your Bible reading. So if you have been keeping up with your Bible reading, why don't you stand? Brother Austin, would you help us? Could you take this basket to all those that are standing and let them pick a muffin? You do that for me? Thank you, sir. Why don't you give Austin a hand for being willing to distribute the bread? As they are choosing the muffin, thank you for those of you that are helping and putting together this and keeping this going. So good to see so many people standing. Wow, that's awesome. You need to give yourselves a hand for all those that are standing and reading your word. I do want to let you know of a little change. We announced this Wednesday night during the Wednesday night Bible study. I posted this on Facebook and gave the reasons for doing so, but I was going to have to pull quadruple duty today in that we had a staff meeting scheduled for this afternoon, and then we were going to kick off Revival by Design tonight. And I felt like I wasn't normally going to speak twice this morning, but schedule had to change for different people being out of town, and so I had to pull double duty in speaking this morning, as you'll see here in just a moment. But then I had the department heads meeting in the afternoon, and then the Revival by Design Sunday night. And I really felt like we needed just a little bit more time and planning and preparation with the department heads before we kicked off Revival by Design. And so I'm going to give you a week of reprieve. So we will not kick off Revival by Design tonight. Tonight, I will just meet with the department heads. And as I don't know that I've stated this very much, but it needs to be stated. Any officers of the church that would like to be a part of department head meeting, you are more than welcome to attend. And so the trustees, Sister Rachel, Secretary Treasurer, anybody that is an officer of the church, you are more than invited and welcome to be a part of our department heads meeting. But because we are going to move the department head meeting to tonight, at 6 o'clock, we will not have our kickoff for Revival by Design tonight. We're going to move that ahead to next week. And so next Sunday will be our kickoff for Revival by Design. You say, well, is that something for me? Well, here's how you can answer that question. If you are interested in seeing growth at this church, and you're interested in being part of growth at this church, then I would ask you to come. You say, well, it doesn't really matter to me. I really don't care about the church growing. Well, then you're probably not going to be much help anyhow, so you might as well stay home. Yeah, I said it. But if you would like to see this church grow, and you would like to see us implement curriculum and training to help us from everything to visitor follow-up to altar work, everything that has to do with prayer walks and those things of evangelizing this community and reaching out and bringing people in and even having home groups and study groups, that's what this is all about. It's a very robust a curriculum, if you will. It goes on for many, many weeks. We'll take breaks every now and then. I won't just bludgeon you with it for, you know, week on end. But it is a very good curriculum, one that has been testified to its ability to do great things if you implement it correctly. Just a couple Wednesday nights, we had Brother DeTemple, missionary to Republic of Georgia, who is a big proponent of Revival by Design. So if you're interested in seeing this church grow, I would do this. I would ask you as pastor, at least come for the first 3 Sunday nights. And if at that point you decide it's not something you want to be involved in, well then, you can have the Sunday night off. I know I hesitate to say that, but here's the thing. I know this. I've been around ministry and things of God long enough to know this. If it's not in your heart to do it and be a part of it, doesn't matter how much I compel you. Doesn't matter what opportunities we make. But if it is in your heart and you want to see the church grow and you want to see God's work done, then you'll make it a priority to be here and be a part of this this teaching and instruction. So again, not tonight, but next Sunday night, we will begin the Revival by Design. Department heads, you do not get the night off. You have to meet with me for the department head meeting tonight at 6 o'clock here at the church. Why don't you stand to your feet? You have your Bibles and you would be so kind. 2 Peter chapter number 1. I will not be lengthy in my comments in this second session, but I do feel the Lord has laid something upon my heart that I would like to express to the church. As you're turning to 2 Peter chapter number 1, I would ask this question. How many are interested in having the attributes of God manifest in your life? Amen? Interested in exemplifying, living in accordance with His divine nature. Amen? Many also know that without God, we have a fallen nature. Without God, without His power in our lives, our nature, the Bible says, we are by nature children of disobedience. We are. By our nature, by our human nature, we are not prone, we are not inclined to obedience. We are not inclined to doing the things and the will of God. Not in our nature. It goes against our nature. However, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And I believe that along with that, there's a new nature. Amen? Help the Lord. I want to spend a little time on this. 2 Peter chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 3. According as His divine power, everybody say divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Everybody say divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. How many of you, it doesn't take much, maybe browsing internet or listening to the radio or whatever media you choose to listen to, how many of you are becoming increasingly aware of the corruption that is in this world? Don't take a rocket science just to understand this world is becoming more and more corrupt. Say, well, why is that? Well, because this world does not do by nature the things that are godly. Society as a whole does things by nature that are ungodly. So unless we have divine power, we cannot expect things to be done in a divine nature. Help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. Divine power for a divine nature. Divine power for a divine nature. Can we go, Lord, in prayer? Dear Jesus, we love You. God, we thank You for the opportunity to be here in Your house once again. Lord, I pray that once again, God, You anoint my heart, my mind, God, my mouth to speak Your word with courage and conviction. God, anoint Your people to hear. Open their ears, God, that we would receive Your word. God, that would enrich our lives. It would stir us up, strengthen us. God, that we would see, God, our awesome need for Your divine power in our lives. God, working to bring about Your divine nature in us. God, that we would do things that are God, that we would live a life, God, in accordance with Your word, Your will, Your precepts, Your principles. We love You, Jesus. We praise You. We thank You. We honor You for Your goodness, Your mercy, and Your grace for all that You are and all that You do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Throughout His ministry on earth, Jesus revealed both the power and the nature of God. Hebrews 1 verses 1 through 3 tells us, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. The writer of Hebrews is saying, if I can maybe make it a little bit more concise and maybe put it in context, the writer of Hebrews is saying that God revealed his divine power and his divine nature through Jesus Christ. When Jesus went about doing good and healing and performing miracles and wonders and delivering those that were oppressed of the devil, he was doing all these things showing the divine power of God. The ability of God to heal all manner of disease. The ability of God to deliver no matter how much the demonic possession. The ability of God to even raise from the dead. He was showing throughout his earthly ministry that God has power. That God, in his infinite wisdom and understanding, uses that power to reveal his divine nature. Understand this, Jesus, in resisting evil and not succumbing to temptation and not becoming prideful and uplifted as a man and not bowing down and worshiping the devil, Jesus as a man also revealed the divine nature of God. Holy, righteous, without fault, without spot, without blemish. He knew no sin. Jesus revealed the divine power and the divine nature of God. When he walked this earth, what he did and symbolically what he did not do. How he performed miracles and how he healed and how he delivered it. Revealed the power of God and how he did not succumb to things that you and I would undoubtedly succumb to. Temptations. Jesus revealed the very nature of God. His holiness and his righteousness. You see, on an individual level, for you and I, human effort alone will not provide the necessary power to live a life that is godly. You by and I, by ourselves, we cannot be who God created us to be on our own. We cannot be godly. We cannot be righteous. We cannot do the things that we should do on our own. It's not possible. It's not in our makeup as fallen man. We are by nature children of disobedience. It is not in our power to live a life of glory and virtue. It's not something that one is able to do on their own by their own means. It's not possible. Furthermore, there is nothing in this world. There's nothing that you and I could acquire. There is no intellect. There is no accolade. There is no achievement that you and I could acquire in this life that would make us, catch this, that would give us the ability to have a divine nature. Nothing. Nothing in this world. There are no worldly means that would make it possible for you and I to live godly. On a collective, societal level, all the unity and collaboration in the world without divine power cannot produce divine nature. I'll say that again. It doesn't matter how much the world may come together. It doesn't matter how united the nations are. If they are not united with the catalyst being divine power of God, it will never produce a divine nature. In other words, no matter how much unity there is, we can take the example of the Tower of Babel. They were unified. The Bible says that the Lord looked down from heaven and said that they become as one. And now nothing will be restrained from them. But you also need to understand that what they were unified in and what they were seeking to accomplish together and collectively was not godly. It was not of a divine nature. You see, we're fallen without the power of him that was raised to life again, we will, as a society, continue doing dead things.
I'll say that again. Without the power of Him that was raised to life again, we as a society will continue to do dead things, and corruption will abound. Friday night, I had the opportunity to go and be a part of the entitled Beyond Worship concert at First Apostolic Church of Aurora. And those of you that were able to go and be a part of it, you know what a wonderful time we had in the presence of God. There was a song that they began to sing, and I began to look at the words on the screen, and I began to weep. The song is entitled, My World Needs You Right Now. One of the verses says, Power fall down, bring with it a sound that points us to you right now. Erase substitutes right now. Fix what I see, and God, please fix me. My world needs you right now. Let us see you right now. We need God. We need the divine power of God at work in our lives. Because the divine nature of God cannot be produced by any other means. Holiness and righteousness, godliness cannot, will not ever be produced outside of divine power. I know it's not earth-shattering. I know it's often said, but it bears repeating. This is why the phrase is coined, and it's so true. You do not get good to get God. You get God to get good. I cannot acquire, I cannot achieve the divine nature of God. I cannot be holy and righteous and do what is right and live a godly life without the divine power of God at work in my life. That's why Apostle Peter writing 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us. In other words, we have these things. They are given unto us by the divine power of God. You can't get these any other way. They're not accessible by any other means. It has to be through the divine power of God. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. And let me just say this. Life and godliness, life in its very basic, simplest form, life in natural life, in the you living and breathing and us being able to take oxygen into our lungs, we need to understand that comes no other way but through the divine power of God, that He sees fit to allow creation to continue, that He holds everything in His hands still, that He keeps all the cosmological constants constant. Say, I'm not an astrophysicist, but they say that there are somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 cosmological constants which have to remain constant. Strong nuclear forces, weak nuclear forces, all these different forces that exist in the universe, and they say that some 70 of these forces must remain constant because if they change by any variable, the universe implodes. Still got the whole world in His hands. That's why the Apostle Peter said, even according as His divine power hath given us to all things that pertain unto life. Even the ability to breathe comes through the divine power of God. But also He says, in godliness. While the power, divine power of God gives us to that which is very simple and basic in the sense of natural life, it also gives unto us that which is great and precious in spiritual life and godliness. It's only through His power. You see, He goes on to say that through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and to virtue. This I've come to know. The more that I know Him, the more I want to be like Him. The more I read about Him, the more I see his work in the lives of other people, the more I want to be more like him. To have that glory, not glory as of me, but glory for him and virtue through him. To be examples of him in word and deed, to show the world around about me the glory of God, that how I live and what I do is a testimony of his power at work in my life. It's only by his divine power that I'm able to do what I do in the sense of godliness. It's only through him. The more that I know him, the more that I see his work in my life, the more I want godliness, glory, and virtue to be attributes exemplified in me. A godly life lived in the glory and virtue that God would have me to live is only possible through his divine power. It's only through the power of the Holy Ghost. Why he goes on to say in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, by what? By these exceeding great and precious promises. It's no mystery. But promises exceeding and great. I know there's multiple promises in the verse, in the words of God, but what promise is it that Jesus focused on so heavily as he was departing from earth? What promise was it that he told the disciples to go and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high? For behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. This exceeding great and precious promise that we have because of Jesus Christ is the divine power of the Holy Ghost. And the only way that you and I are able to live in the divine nature of God, to experience his exceeding great and precious promises is through the power of the Holy Ghost. Is it essential? I believe that it is. There's a word of God revealed that the power of the Holy Ghost inside someone's life, I believe it is. The Bible goes far to say, as if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. So it is impossible for me to have even a portion of his divine nature without having his divine power. You cannot have his divine nature without his divine power. So just as his power gives life in his very simplest and basic form, it also gives life in exceeding and great precious form. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, his divine powers provides opportunity for you and I to have the exceeding great and precious promise of the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Father. The Bible says it is the earnest of our inheritance. Through it, we are partakers of the divine nature of God. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, through the divine power of God, I am able to partake of his divine nature. Through the power of the Holy Ghost in my life, I am able to exemplify. I am able to have attributes in my life that are godly. I am able to do the things that God would do, to live and do as he would do, to walk upon this earth in his glory, having virtue, having integrity in my life, not in and of myself, but through the power of God. I am a partaker of his divine nature. Anybody attempting to exemplify the divine nature of God, anybody seeking to try to show forth godliness and righteousness without divine power is a fraud. I'll say that again. Anybody endeavoring. Why some seem to be all that aren't. What are you saying, Pastor? It's this. There's a lot of people that can talk, and there's a lot of people that can say certain things. There's a lot of people that can even attempt to some extent to live it in their life. But without the divine power of God, it is not of a divine nature. Maybe you don't agree with that. But it takes the power of God in my life. It takes the Holy Ghost in order for me to be a partaker of the divine nature of God. I cannot be a partaker of the divine nature without divine power. It goes on to say in verse 5, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What are you saying? Simply that these are attributes of a divine nature through divine power. This godliness, this temperance, this brotherly kindness, this charity, these things that God shows through His Word are attributes of His divine nature, are possible through His divine power. How am I able to be temperate? How am I able to manifest fruit of the Spirit? How am I able to have patience and godliness? How am I able to be kind? How am I able to be forgiving? How am I able? I tell you, through divine power, through the divine power of God, I am able to reveal His divine nature unto this world that is fallen. You see, what we need so desperately in this world is the power of the Holy Ghost at work in the hearts and lives of people. For if individually we can have this power of God working in our lives, individually we can build ourselves up praying in the Holy Ghost. If individually we can have this divine power working and moving in us and having us be partakers of His divine nature, well, then you get two or three or four or five, and they get together and they start being, hey, through His power we can be partakers of a divine nature, and now you and I together, we can collectively, now there's a group, now there's a body of believers that collectively we can be partakers of His divine nature, and you have some attributes and I have some attributes, and you're the nose and I'm the ears and He's the eyes and she's the hands, and together we have this divine nature now. Now collectively, we're, as a body of believers, we're more adequately representing His divine nature. And we are through our coming together and through brothers and sisters in Christ, we are joining together. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. And the ear cannot say to the nose, I have no need of thee. We all are making up the attributes of God. We are revealing His divine nature. So I, on an individual level, me, you, on an individual level, we got to get this divine power working in our life. We've got to allow the Holy Ghost to move in us and compel us to do things, because the more that we do through divine power, the more we reveal His divine nature. And the more the world sees Jesus in you and me. Yes, my world needs you right now. This world needs the church. This world needs a body of believers. This world needs people who are individually saying, I got to get a hold of the divine power of God and let it work in my life, that I exemplify more of His divine nature, and that collectively we get together. What this world needs is the church to truly be the bride of Christ, to truly be holy, to truly be separate and set apart, to truly be a part and partakers of His divine nature. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Even those that maybe don't understand all of the nuances of a statement such as this, but
If you ask anybody with a rational mind, would you like to be godlike? Don't say godly, because then they always say, oh, you're talking about religion. Basically means the same thing, but it's the way you say it. Would you like to be like a god?
Oh, yeah. Power,
ability.
Be godlike. So you want to be godly? Well, I mean, I'd like to have the power and the ability and be immortal. That'd be cool.
Do you want to be godly?
I think anybody with a rational sense and understanding would say, yeah, be godlike. Be awesome. Well, how do I ever expect to be godly? Now, I understand that people's perception of God is much different than our own. But even those atheists deny the existence of a God. Even those that would be agnostic and say, well, there is a God. You can't know Him, so don't try. Just live your life. On a societal level, moral, ethical, want to be better? I don't know too many people that would just say, well, I'd rather get worse. I want to be worse and worse and worse. Maybe some that are that bold and brazen, but I would say for the majority. If you ask a father who really loves his family, do you want to be a better father? Yeah. Spouse, you want to be a better spouse and they truly want the relationship to work. Yeah. Want to be better. I got news. You can be better. There's a better way. You can have divine nature. You can have the ability to be kind, loving, forgiving, temperate, patient. You can have the ability, divine nature of God through His divine power. I'm so thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost. Do I depend on it like I should? No, I don't. But I've learned this, the more I depend upon it, the better I am. I want to be God. I want more. I want to partake of more of His divine nature. I want to be God. And I know that that's not doable on my own. It takes divine power for a divine nature. If you're here this morning, you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you need to understand, you need the divine power of the Holy Ghost in your life. For it will produce a divine nature. If you're here and you've had the Holy Ghost for years or whatever the case may be, you need to understand. We all need to more and more depend upon the divine power of God at work in our lives, producing a divine nature. I want to resist temptation. I want to live godly. I want to fall prey to the attacks, devices of the devil. I want to live godly. It takes His divine power. Can we sing this song together?
I want to be more like You, Jesus. I want to be more like You. I want to be a vessel You work through. I
These altars are open.
I want to be more like you. Jesus,
I want to exemplify His divine nature.
Be more like you.
I want to be giving.
I want to be a vessel you are through.
I want to be selfless, not selfish.
I want to be more like you.
Many times, well, that's just not in my nature. That's why you need divine power. Divine power will make you a partaker of a divine nature.
I want to be more like you, Jesus. I want to be more like you.
See where God's divine nature is being exemplified.
I want to be a vessel you
where you've learned to be kind and patient.
I want to be more like you.
Lord, I want to be more like you. The more I read about you, the more knowledge I have of you, the more I want
to be more like you.
That kind of glory and virtue and work in my life. Power in our lives. This world needs you and I to have more divine power, for it will make us partakers of divine nature. Before God, before partaking of His divine power, our divine nature was disobedience. But only stand to reason now for my nature to be obedient, to be faithful, to obtain a good report. It takes divine power from on high. The catalyst, the propellant, if you will, giving me the power to live godly, to escape the corruption in this world that is through lust. Lord, help me. I want to fall prey His enemy, His devices. I want to escape the trap that is laid for me. I want to be aware, God, His attacks. I want to be able to escape the corruption that is in this world through lust. shine as a city set upon a hill, revealing to this world your divine nature. One more time, can we lift our hands? Oh, we need your power. We need the Holy Ghost in our lives, God. Building us up, strengthening us. Exercising ourselves in the godliness to the power of the Holy Ghost. The more I allow to work and move in my life, the more your nature is produced in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Mind you, Revival by Design kicks off next Sunday night. Tonight, 6 o'clock, department head, ask you to meet with me here at the church. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.